Hi there, this is Kyle Hebert, the voice of the narrator from Dragon Ball Z, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
But yeah, you start playing Kingdom Hearts?
Started playing Kingdom Hearts 1, because they're all on Game Pass, and then Xbox notifies me, hey, at the end of the month, we're taking Kingdom Hearts off of Game Pass. So I was like, all right, great. Good thing God hates me. You're listening to episode 83 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast for the week of May 21st, 2021. Is that correct? Yes, it is. I'm one of your hosts, Gags, joined by me, the 2021 Columbus Cup Street Fighter V champion, Dill.
Yes, sir.
You thought I was going to let that slide?
Shout out.
We finally did something gaming that was worthy of talking about.
Dude, I deserved this last year, and I'm just glad to say I finally won it this year.
No, you were 2019 Fighter Z, right? You're DBZ.
Yep. Yep,
that was 2019 though, right? So what did you do last year? Did you take it off or you just suck?
No, I lost to Dev somehow, and then he ended up beating the next guy for the finale.
When I got that photo of you,
Dev was the champ, and I made it known from last year the moment he won that he was a false champion. And I came in this year when I did my pre-interview, I said that my only mission was to destroy Dev, and that's exactly what I did, because I took him out of – he wasn't even in the B-League tournament because I beat him in the team tournament.
Yes, so you beat his ass.
I destroyed his career.
Do you only use Ken Masters? Is that your boy?
No, I mean, I try to play with everybody. I used to play Chun-Li in the other tournaments, but I just started playing Ken because I just like him better than Ryu.
Nothing got me more excited than when I got a – first off, the photo came through first. No context at all.
Yep.
So it's just you holding up a championship belt, and you're wearing the –
the necklace. Was it?
The Akuma? Akumi?
Yep, Akuma. The Akuma beads.
Yeah, that was so fun. I was like, what the hell is this? And then you're like, you're looking at the 2021 Columbus Cup Street Fighter V champion.
One of two people to have two titles in two different – I mean, a title in two different games.
I love it. Is it even at Columbus anymore? Is it still at Columbus or is that Lou's house?
No, it was still at TA's house. Josh came back from Florida, and then we just did another Columbus Cup. Columbus Cup 10.
Whew. Shout out to the Columbus Cup. Big news for me. I have finally beaten the final boss of Monster Hunter until the new update. I am now a Master Hunter rank. Just an all-around god. Like, if a monster accidentally bumps into me, it's dead. I'm still waiting for you to take yours out of the shrink wrap and get a couple games in. Mr. Oh, I'll play Thursday with you. I'll play Thursday with you.
Hey, you never hit me up to play.
You know, it was my fault. You never specified which Thursday. You just said Thursday.
No, you even said that you took the blame for that last week.
I don't think I did that, because last week I was hosting with your brother.
I meant like in text, like we were.
Oh, okay.
It had to have been the week before then.
You piece of shit. All right, let's take a short little break and get with the news. All right, we're back with the news. Quick news of the week. The Sonic Hedgehog 2 synopsis has leaked online. The movie will follow Sonic and Tails taking down Dr. Eggman teamed up with Knuckles. Monster Hunter Rise 3.0 update event announced for May 26th, revealing the true ending of the game.
Interesting day right there, May 26th.
Yep. Yep, best day of the year.
Yep.
Hocus Pocus 2 arrives on Disney Plus in 2022 with the original Sanders sisters reprising their role. Ni No Kuni 2 Kingdom Princes Edition announced for the Nintendo Switch, releasing on September 17th. The Last of Us Part 2 has received a PS5 performance update, allowing PS5 owners to now experience the game in 60 frames per second. I can't believe it took this long.
I know, right?
That was like the last temple title they released for the PS4. You'd think they'd want that at launch. Instead, they gave you like 2016 Ratchet and Clank update.
I know, right?
And then Grand Theft Auto 5 gets a PS5 Xbox Series X version releasing on November 11th. Dude, how many times are they going to re-release the same game?
Oh, Grand Theft Auto, I know, right? I heard rumors that Grand Theft Auto 6 was coming out soon.
Yeah, those rumors have been around for like 4 years because
Grand Theft Auto 5 heard something new again.
Please, what? Facebook? From comicbooks.com.
Hey, what did we already know that everything that I've gotten from Facebook has been accurate.
It's so accurate. And then Loftwing Zelda Amiibo announced for July 16th, retail price of $24.99.
You already had that pre-order, don't you?
I've gone cold turkey. There's no more Amiibo. I refuse to do it.
What?
No more amiibo. You've I have changed. Nowhere to put them. That's it. It's I have nowhere to put them.
That means you're not a pure Zelda fan.
That's the only. So I thought you're about just it for a fraud. Second. I thought about it for a second because it's the only Zelda amiibo I won't have, and I was like, "Fuck it, it's not worth it. I'm not you're doing a fraud. This." Metacritic scores of the week: Knockout City. Meta score of a 78. Have you seen Knockout City? It's actually doing pretty well. That's the like battle royale. I don't know if I want to say battle royale, but it's an online like dodgeball game.
Oh yeah, I think I did hear about that.
With the you play a certain character. It's almost like an Overwatch.
Is it first person
dodgeball or is it third person?
All right.
And then Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne HD Remaster with a Metascore of 78. That's something I feel like your brother would really like. It's one of those old school JRPGs that was just remastered.
Yeah.
Really, really nerdy looking stuff. I thought about it for a second. Not going to lie. All right. So first big news story of the week. Twitch has created a new category for hot tub and beach streamers. This is by Anna Diaz on Polygon.com. Since hot tub streams took off in March, there's been a controversy on Twitch over people who stream in bikinis while in hot tubs. In response to the complaints from both viewers and advertisers, Twitch is now creating a dedicated category for the hot tub streams, pools, hot tub, and beaches. If you have chosen swimwear that is allowed under the swim and beaches contextual exception to our standard nudity and attire policy, you should stream into the pools, hot tubs, and beaches category, Twitch said Friday in a blog post. The company also noted that aside from prohibitions against nudity and sexually explicit content, hot tub streams are not a violation of circumvention of Twitch's policies. Being found to be sexy by others is not against our rules, and Twitch will not take enforcement action against women or anyone on our service for their perceived attractiveness, Twitch said. Asking for a friend, but is it against the rules to be ugly?
Which friend are you asking for?
You. Twitch acknowledged in a blog post that creating the new hot tub category is a stopgap solution, but said it will solve a few issues for all audiences in the near term. For one, streamers who categorize their hot tub streams under the wide-reaching category Just Chatting, the vaguely defined section includes all sorts of non-gaming content, from Lego building to commentary streams, making it one of the most popular categories on Twitch. On Twitch, categories help viewers browse streams and find what they want to watch. If you wanted to see a DJ broadcast live, for instance, you could pick the music category and see what's there. Moving hot tub streams into their own category will offer more ways to control the content that's recommended as well as where the ad appears, said Twitch. In other words, it will allow viewers browsing the Just Chatting section to sidestep hot tub streams and will let advertisers avoid having their ads appear on those streams. Have you seen this? This has kind of been like the big issue on Twitch right now.
I didn't even hear about this.
Really? I guarantee you, if I were to log into your Twitch account, all of the suggested streams for you would be hot tub streamers. You fucking liar.
That is straight cap. It's all Apex streamers. That is the only thing I watch on Twitch.
Do you even care if they have hot tub streamers on Twitch?
I don't even like. That's weird to me, but I mean, I how are you playing a video game in a hot tub?
You don't have to. You don't have to be. So that's the thing. Everyone thinks Twitch is only gaming. You don't have to necessarily be playing a video game to be streaming.
I mean, if they want to do that in their own category, that's fine with me.
Right?
I'm just going to be watching a game.
Right. Like, so it doesn't affect you, right? Because there's so many people online that are like, get this off of Twitch. It's going to ruin Twitch. And it's like,
I mean, it's not. I mean, you can't blame them for, like, if they want to show, you know, their attractiveness or whatever, but kids do watch Twitch.
Right. So maybe make, like, an 18-plus category. But, you know, I don't even think
come on. Like, you know kids can make fake emails to get into. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
Not only that, like, if you're sitting in your bathing suit, you don't need to be 18-plus to see that. Like, that's not breaking any rules necessarily. It's like going to the beach. You don't have to be 18-plus to go to the beach.
Yeah.
I will say I saw that there was an issue because certain hot tub streamers, if you watch their stream, they would basically spam their chat with like links to their OnlyFans accounts.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's marketing. They know what they're doing.
Yeah, no, that is self-promoting. But well, I mean, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, what if there's some random like 9-year-old on there and he's fucking just going away on our OnlyFans?
I don't know how OnlyFans actually works. So I don't know if it's used, you click it and you have access or if you need a credit card. I know that, but I don't know like how, like where the stopgap
Now you got a 9-year-old kid stealing his mom's credit card and he's fucking buying this girl's OnlyFans.
That and Roblox points.
Yeah, and then that girl's getting a lawsuit. Bang.
Is she? It's on the mother, I think, at that point.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. That kid's bad kid.
I'll tell you what, I don't think it's breaking any rules. Bad. I don't care that these content creators are on Twitch. I think they deserved a spot if that's what they want to do. And you know what? People are watching. Good for them. Good for them.
I mean, if not, I mean, there's probably other platforms where they could do that on.
Right, exactly. YouTube. If not Twitch, they're just going to find somewhere else to put it.
Yeah, and then that person's going to get all the views. That platform.
Next news story, Nintendo shares juicy Mario Golf Super Rush details and lengthy overview trailer. This is by Ryan Craddock on NintendoLife.com. With just over a month to go until launch of Mario Golf Super Rush, Nintendo has dropped an all-new overview trailer to teach us all about the game. The video goes over gameplay details, including techniques like curve shot and spin shots. Reminds us about the optional motion controls, teaches us about some of the unique strengths on offer from individual characters and more. You can watch yourself or check out with this written overview. That's more your style. Speed golf in the new fast-paced mode Speed Golf, players tee off in unison and race through the course to sink the ball as fast as possible. It's important to avoid the course's various hazards and collect items that regain stamina while sprinting to the ball. Players can also use special dashes and shots to swing victory in their favor. They also showed off Battle Golf. In Battle Golf, a more strategic variation of Speed Golf, 9 holes are in play at the same time. The first player to score 3 of the 9 holes claims the victory, so it's key to stay ahead of opponents or risk losing out. This new game mode looked like battle mode from Mario Kart, but almost golf.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Sounds dope.
Yeah, standard golf. I like the speed golf the most, where we all are golfing at the same time.
That one sounds dope too.
And we're shooting shots at each other to like kind of fuck each other up too.
Yeah, that's gonna be dope as hell.
Golf Adventure solo players can go from rookie to pro when enrolling their Mii character at a country club in Golf Adventure. While interacting with familiar Mushroom Kingdom characters, they can learn how to play and take on a variety of challenges. Gaining experience makes it possible to level up the character, which can be used in multiplayer modes. Simple controls, simple button controls make it easier for new players and seasoned pros alike. It's as simple as taking aim, choosing the shot strength, and sending the ball flying. Additionally, it's possible to use motion controls by holding the Joy-Con controller like a golf club. I will never, for the life of me, use motion controls.
Yeah, no, hell no.
I will never. In fact, I see myself playing this game so much handheld.
Oh, God, yeah.
Useful tools. Curving a shot and is an effective technique to avoid hazards. Putting spin on the ball affects how it rolls after landing. Several features are on hand to help conquer the course, including a shot gauge that adapts to the angle of slope and a scan that makes it easy to read the terrain. Tee off with family, friends, and familiar faces. Players can choose from a cast of 16 characters from the Super Mario series, each featuring different strengths and equipped with their own unique special moves. Pauline, Charge and Chuck, King Ba-Bomb will make their first appearance in the series. Players can hit the fairway with up to 3 others, both locally from a standard courses to courses with special locally and online in different modes. Lavish locations from standard courses to courses with special hazards. Every round of golf is different. There's a variety of 6 locations to choose from. It also gave us all right, so 16 characters. It looked like there were 6 remaining slots.
Yep.
I don't know if there are 6 characters you can unlock or future DLC.
Probably 6 you can unlock, and then they'll probably do the DLC later.
You think so? Mario Tennis Aces, what they did was every month they gave you an additional character for free.
Yep.
And it was like a way to get you back into the game, because to unlock them, you had to play in a tournament and then score like a certain amount of points.
Yep.
And then you unlock the character, and if you weren't in for that month, you just had to wait like an additional month, and they unlocked for you anyways.
All right. I mean,
I see like a similar, you know what I mean, to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
That, or if it's a big hit, right? Mario Kart 8, when it originally released for the Wii U, had DLC packs.
Yep, it did.
And I can tell you, obviously, Smash Bros. Still has like the DLC packs you can buy, or is still going with like 2 more characters remaining. I don't know the last Nintendo game that has given us.
I seen a leak that said it was going to be Sora.
Oh, come on. Dude,
Facebook? Yeah, it was Facebook. Yo, dude, watch what I'm right. $50 on it right now.
It's because they know I'm playing Kingdom Hearts again right now.
$50 on it right now.
Deal. Ready? I'm shaking through the... I'm shaking.
All right, bet. Computer shake.
Yep.
$50 on it.
I will... I'm calling it right now. Link is going to make it into Mario Golf. Calling my shot.
I'm thinking Link's going to get an anime.
Ah, don't do that.
I think Castlevania is going to take it on.
No.
Yeah, they another reached out.
Facebook goddamn story.
No. It's just real news.
How hyped are you for Mario Golf at this point now?
I'm super pumped. Yo, you know what I'm thinking? Do you think I could connect my Switch to my laptop?
To display it on your laptop?
Yeah.
Oh, I bet so.
Oh, this things could get interesting.
Why? You thinking play online?
I'm thinking I could just play it and just have it play on that, and I can just use my Pro Controller.
Oh, easily. I bet you can.
And I can just leave it plugged in so I don't have to worry about it dying.
Yeah. I bet it's just like plugging your... I don't know, actually, because I don't know if your laptop will let you use it as just a screen if you plug your HDMI into it. Does your laptop have an HDMI port?
Yeah.
I feel like your laptop would go the other way around. You know what I mean? You could use an HDMI to put your laptop onto a screen, not a screen onto your laptop.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to have to try it out.
I hope it fries your Switch.
Fuck you.
Blizzard shows off Overwatch 2's new 5v5 multiplayer in a trio of maps by Cham Gartenberg on TheVerge.com. Blizzard's two-hour Overwatch 2 stream showed off the best look yet at the much-anticipated sequel to the competitive team shooter. And while there's still no release date, the studio did show off plenty of new information about the game. Chief among those is one of the biggest changes to Overwatch in the game's history. The sequel will be shifting the default PvP multiplayer mode from 6-on-6 matches to 5-on-5 matches. With the current role queuing system, that translates to cutting out a tank character on each team, which will now consist of 2 support characters, 2 DPSs, and just a single tank character. The explanation behind the changes is to both simplify and shake up Overwatch's combat and meta, which tends to classify towards tank-centric plays, specifically based on utilizing shielding mechanics from the characters like Reinhardt or Orisa. In Overwatch 2, tank characters are getting some big buffs to make them more powerful. And to help compensate for the lack of a second tank, Reinhardt, for example, is getting a second Fire Strike attack, while Winston's Tesla coil cannon is getting a ranged alt fire mode. The goal is to help shift Overwatch's combat away from hiding behind slash healing tanks and to give the rest of the team more room to spread out, flank, and focus on objectives instead of just trying to keep the tanks alive. One less tank also means that players have to be smarter about the maps, utilizing cover and creative flanking angles instead of just rolling down the main path in a shield fortress. It's a big change to the game, one that exemplifies the approach that Blizzard is taking here in terms of trying to keep things fresh. What do you think about removing a player from each team and moving from the 6v6 to 5v5?
I like it.
Do you?
Yeah, it makes it harder.
So I originally heard it and thought that sucked. I was kind of like, oh, I'm surprised they didn't go the other way and go 8v8.
No, it's going to make it way more like you're going to have to like really think about it. Because yeah. That was the one thing I liked about Overwatch 1 was that like you didn't give a shit. Like you didn't care about your KD in that game. Like you could just go out there and just have a good time playing with all those characters. Now I feel like this one's gonna be like more serious.
Oh yeah. And well, remember, this is like one of those games that has like its own actual major league, right? Like its own esports.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah.
A lot of people are bitching because think about this though.
And this is gonna make it way more competitive for esports, so.
It's going to make it way more competitive even for professionals to get a job. Because think about it, 1/6 of a team is now gone.
Yeah, cut. Yep.
So if you're a professional tank player, your job's just got cut in half.
Yep.
That fucking sucks.
That is insane.
So you only have a few options here.
Good thing you and me aren't tank players, huh?
I kind of am. I love Roadhog.
Are you? Damn.
Love Roadhog. Hanzo's my boy.
I like Hanzo.
Yeah, no, I kind of am, but at the same time aren't. Like I kind of mix it up because remember when you try to queue into a game, it's like, oh, you have to pick your role. Yeah. And depending on what role you pick. So I usually just pick whatever's the shortest queue time.
Yeah.
I'm like excited and nervous about Overwatch 2. Because that's a huge change. As it's simple as just like taking away one player, it completely changes everything up.
Yeah, it does. It depends if people. It depends if people are actually going to focus on the objective.
Oh, they have to, especially in the Overwatch League. If you think about it, it's the only thing going, right? Like you said, yeah. There's no KD. Your wins and losses is all you care about.
Yeah, it is. It's true. So now, yeah.
The crazy thing is, because if you remember, which is the weirdest thing, Overwatch 1 and 2 are going to be asynchronous, so like they're going to go at the same time.
Yep.
So when Overwatch 2 releases, they're going to roll out the changes to Overwatch 1 as well.
Oh, really?
Which means Overwatch 1 will also become a 5v5 game.
That's interesting that they did that.
Right? Because it sounds like Overwatch 2 is basically going to be just a story mode.
Oh, that's not what I like to hear.
And it's just going to be updates to the multiplayer with obviously new characters, new maps, and all those kind of things.
But you think you're going to be able to do the same thing from
Overwatch 1?
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
It's the weirdest rollout plan I've seen so far. I think the lore itself might... I believe Netflix is working on a show for Overwatch. I think so. So, like, you know, there's going to be more heads on this than ever. Let's see. The stream showed off other new aspects in the upcoming sequel, including a better look at the cleaner UI for Overwatch 2, which, among the other changes, makes it easier for support characters to track teammates that are healing. New character designs and other tweaks that are planned for character abilities, like Mei, who won't be able to fully freeze opponents anymore. The development team also showcased several new maps. There was a better look at the upcoming Toronto map, which has been announced alongside Overwatch 2 back in 2019, but also a trio of new maps, New York, featuring a futuristic Grand Central Station, Rio, which is a nightclub from the EDM hero Lucio, and Monte Carlo, setting on a winding racetrack. There's still no firm release date for Overwatch 2, but Blizzard had already confirmed it won't be launching until at least 2022. Has to be releasing in 2022.
That sucks.
I don't even know what you charge for this game, honestly.
$70.
You think so?
Oh yeah. They're definitely gonna.
I'm gonna buy it regardless. Like,
of course.
I
don't give a shit.
I'm trying to think of, like, right now I know Winston is technically the number one tank to be.
Yeah.
Because of the tank attributes he has and how quick he can move.
Yeah, he's
I do like the fact that they're basically adding an additional move to every character as well to give them all more variety.
I wonder what Hanzo's new move is going to be.
Hanzo's the GOAT.
He's so gross.
He's like really not, but like we just like him.
Nah, people are nasty with him.
Oh, people, not us, but like people.
Oh, I'm nasty.
When was the last time you played Overwatch?
Dude, it's been a long time.
What Overwatch needs the most out of more than a sequel is one, cross progression between all systems.
Yep.
And cross play. I don't think it has any of those still.
It doesn't have cross play?
Doesn't have cross play, and it doesn't have the cross progression. Because I have it on the Nintendo Switch and I have it on the Xbox and like different accounts, which pisses me off because I have like different legendary skins for different characters on each of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that shit sucks. That was like me with Fortnite on PS4, and then with my Switch, I had mad skins on my PS4, mad skins on my Switch, but I could only link my Switch to my Xbox.
I was hyped when they finally let you like merge the accounts and get everything together. Yeah. I'm hoping they do the same for Overwatch, even though they've claimed it's impossible.
My Overwatch account was on PS4, so if I can't merge like my PC account with that one, then I'm gonna be fucked. So it doesn't even matter.
I would almost, if I were you, if you get Overwatch 2, get it on your PC. And then ditch your Overwatch 1 account.
I'm definitely going to get it on PC unless I get a PS5 in the near future. But Benny got one.
No, he didn't. How?
Yeah, PlayStation Direct.
What a piece of shit.
He got the Twitter drop.
I heard it was at Best Buy today, but it was too late by the time I was told.
Yeah, I gave up looking.
Let's see. Starfield set to release in late 2022, according to a reporter. This is by Haran Cryer and Connor Sheridan on GamesRadar.com. Update, Starfield isn't coming this year, but will still make the cutoff for 2022, according to the latest rumors about Bethesda's upcoming sci-fi RPG. Bloomberg reporter Jason Schreier, who has a solid record of teasing out details for games early, started a Twitter thread earlier today where he shot down rumors of Starfield being poised to arrive by the end of 2021. A few hours later, he followed that up with denial with a claim of his own. Bethesda is planning to release Starfield in late 2022, and it will tease that date for the game at E3 2021. if true, keep a close eye on Bethesda's shared event with Xbox and check out our E3 2021 schedule for the rest of the presentation that has been announced so far. Over the last few weeks and months, we've seen no shortage of claims surrounding Starfield, with some claims that Bethesda was aiming to launch their new game later this year in 2021. That might have been true before COVID. Schreier's claim is just that the latest in the very long line of rumors, although given his track record, the claim is significantly more reliable than the previous rumors floating around. We know relatively little about Bethesda's new RPG so far. One thing we know is that it'll feature a brand new engine from the developer, as Bethesda revealed late last year that they'd be overhauling their engine for the development of not only Starfield, but The Elder Scrolls 6 as well. Both games appear to be quite some distance away, but we can pretty safely assume that the latter is further out from eventually seeing the light of day. In fact, we aren't even sure which platform Starfield will eventually launch on, and there's no shortage of rumors surrounding that topic either. A previous rumor claimed that the developer is aiming to launch that RPG on PC, but also on Xbox as console exclusive, skipping out on the PlayStation release entirely. Right now, no one knows which platform Starfield will be launching on, not even PlayStation boss Jim Ryan, as he's revealed he's just as much in the dark as what we are, as what Bethesda's plans are. So a lot of people are already confirming this will not come out on PlayStation. Yep. It's going to be an Xbox only console exclusive, which makes sense. Xbox owns Bethesda. That's why they bought them in the first place, right? To have these kind of games exclusive to their console.
But it says they're aiming to launch on PC.
Right. PC. I'm saying console. Video game.
No, I know. I'm just saying that. Oh, yeah. That works out for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because, well, think about it. If they're owned by Xbox, Xbox has Game Pass Ultimate, which is PC and their console. They don't care where they play their games as long as you're subscribed to Game Pass Ultimate.
That's what I'm saying. So it's pretty much screw Sony.
Yeah, that's the point, right? They bought Bethesda so they can do these kind of things.
Which is awesome.
Is it? Oh, you're right. Sorry, we're Xbox podcast.
Shout out Microsoft. Exactly. What are you talking about, dude?
My fault. No, but a lot of people are upset here, but this is what we needed, right? Everyone always talks about, oh, why would you get an Xbox? They don't have any console exclusives, right? They have Halo and a Gears of War, and that's about it. Well, here we go. Now we have our first big one, Starfield.
Yeah, they're doing exactly what they came in to do. I don't know why people are mad about it.
I hate / love this. I hate consoles exclusives because I'd rather just let everyone play whatever they want to play on whatever they want to play. But also I love the business aspect of it where it forces each company to work and do better on their games.
I'm okay with console exclusives when it's like games like this.
Like a single player RPG.
Exactly. If not, it's multiplayer games like that, like just make it crossplay.
I know.
If it's games like this, fuck it. Because this is what makes those consoles, you know, unique compared to the other one.
Yes, 100%.
So if you want this good-ass game, you're going to have to go buy that console. It doesn't matter if you have a PS5 or not. If you want to play this game, you're going to have to come get this console.
I think Starfield, like, obviously is a big deal. I think it's going to be an even bigger deal when it's actually... Elder Scrolls 6, you know, like the, because that's Skyrim.
Yeah.
You know how big of a game that is. So when Elder Scrolls 6 is all of a sudden a console exclusive, that's when I think people are really going to feel it. Because people love those fucking games. I mean, they're out on like every goddamn console since the PlayStation 3.
Yep. I remember when that came to my house for PS3. I think Tyler used to play it a little bit.
Probably. It seems like his kind of game. I think this Bethesda acquisition obviously doesn't look like that big of a deal yet.
Well, it's a big deal.
Right. And obviously we all know it was great when they first bought them and they brought all the Bethesda games to Game Pass, if you remember. Now they're all, because you get like Doom Eternal, all that cool shit. I mean, I even have Skyrim downloaded on my Xbox just because I can.
Have you played it?
No.
Are you gonna?
I might, because it got the they've gone back and did that like FPS boost, and I want to check that out.
Yeah.
So far, I've only played Skyrim on my Switch, so I imagine it's going to look like a completely new game and run at 120 frames per second and be ridiculous.
Is Fable on Game Pass?
Yes. Yep.
Have you played that? Have you downloaded that?
I do. I have Fable 1 downloaded. I haven't turned it on yet.
That was a good one.
That's the, I would argue, pretty much the only good one.
The OG.
Let's see.
We used to play that at the crib all the time.
Ooh, I love that game.
Yeah, it was a good game.
All right, next news story. And remember, Dill, I called this from the get.
Yeah, of course.
John McClane and Rambo come into Call of Duty for 80s action hero, 80s action heroes event by Marco Vito Otto on Collider.com. Call of Duty's newest update brings John McClane, which I did not call, but I called Rambo.
Yeah,
and
no, Rambo, definitely call Rambo
into the series as part of the franchise's 80s action hero event coming this week to Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War, Call of Duty Warzone, and Call of Duty Mobile. One of Bruce Willis' most iconic parts, John McClane, is the hero of the Die Hard franchise, a New York cop who gets constantly involved in dangerous hostage situations. With five films in the Die Hard franchise, Willis's action hero is one of the most memorable characters of the 80s, helping define action films for a generation. As John Rambo, Sylvester Stallone's war veteran is a one-man army capable of fighting against drug cartels, terrorists, and police forces. Also the star of five movies, Stallone most recently played Rambo in 2019's Rambo Last Blood. Both bloody action heroes will surely feel at home in the Call of Duty games. Here's the full list of everything the 80s action heroes event includes. Operators Rambo and John McClane, Warzone Cold War, Warzone content, new points of interest, Nakatomi Plaza, Survival Campus, CIA Outpost, Power Grab, Limited Time Mode, New Killstreak, Combat Bow, Weapon, Ballistic Knife, Cold War content. Two new multiplayer maps, Standoff 6v6, Enduga Multi-Team, new game modes and medals, Die Hard Point, Rambo's Gun Game, Multi-Team Elimination, action movie-inspired medals, zombies, new main quest, Orta World Event, and more in Outbreak. Cranked 2, No Time to Crank, Limited Time Mode, new custom mod support, mystery box weapons, and weapon buffs. Warzone Cold War content, two new weapons, baseball bat and AMP-63 pistol, 80s action heroes in-game challenge event, new story bundles, and finally the Call of Duty mobile content, new multiplayer limited time game modes, Guns Blazing, Die Hard, and Rambo store bundles. Call of Duty's 80s action heroes event will be live on May 20th at midnight, following updates to Black Ops Cold War on May 19th at midnight, and Warzone on May 20th at midnight, and Call of Duty Mobile on May 21st. I don't think these are the last two we're going to see either.
I find it crazy that Call of Duty Mobile is at a point where they can bring Die Hard and Rambo skins to the market.
Aren't they all linked though? Like your accounts somewhat?
I don't think so. When I used to play the mobile one, I just made like a random account and I was just playing on it.
Yeah, but I think you can link it to your Warzone account, and then the skins you unlock for all of them are just attached. So if you buy the Rambo and John McClane skin, you can use it in all three. Which
I don't even remember being able to like change my skin in the mobile one, though. I don't know if they updated it since I was playing it.
Think about it. The mobile launched before the actual Warzone, no?
Let me check. I don't even know if I still have the app.
It's probably going to make you update to shit. When did Call of Duty Mobile release?
I don't think I have it anymore.
Do you remember how long ago you were playing?
Probably 2 years ago. Maybe.
All right, so Call of Duty Mobile released 2019.
Yes, 2 years ago. That's exactly what I said.
When did Warzone release?
I feel like before that.
You think so? I feel like
Warzone has been out for a grip. Maybe it came out in 2020.
No,
because I think Cold War came out in 2020.
And what came out? All right. Warzone came out March 10th, 2020.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So maybe they did update it, like you're saying, and they must have, and then it's all linked. Release date. Let me see. So, yeah.
I thought mobile was all separate.
It probably was originally, but then
that's how my account was. Like, I just have like my own KD from that account. Like,
so the KD and all that, I agree. I think that is separate. I think it's the actual.
I don't remember like logging into an account though. I don't remember being able to like look at my skin.
How much did you play?
I played it a little bit. I played a lot in a couple of days.
All right. Well, so if you think about it, Warzone released a full year after. What do you think a year of updates has done? Like, think about Pokemon Go versus Pokemon Go now.
I'm surprised I don't have it. Yeah, I must have deleted it.
You're not a true gamer.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to think of what other 80s action star. Like, they have the A-Team. I'm surprised the A-Team's not in it.
Clubber Lang.
Clubber Lang. I'm trying to, like, what? There's got to be some really obvious 80s. Like, what the hell is Jean-Claude Van Damme been in? 80s action.
He's just like, I mean, he's a fighter, though.
Yeah, but, like, the movies he's actually in. The 20 Deadliest 80s Action Movie, people. Snake Plissken. John McClane.
Snake Plissken.
Mad Max. I don't know about Mad Max or RoboCop. Matt Hunter.
No, they'll definitely do RoboCop.
Dutch. Dutch, you know Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was fighting the Predator?
Yep.
If not him, then why wouldn't you just put freaking the Terminator in?
There's no way they don't. Yeah, no, they could definitely do the Terminator. There's no way they don't do RoboCop.
RoboCop. You think so?
Absolutely. Mortal Kombat did it.
John Matrix. That's the movie Commando again. It's goddamn. But that's the thing, right? Like, I don't know if they want to just blindly put their character into too many games.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I say it.
Call of Duty, like, dude.
The biggest it's like Fortnite, franchise.
It's like Fortnite, dude. Like, look at all the skins they put in.
I know. And they don't care.
And they don't give a shit.
All right, let's see. Next news story. Big PS5 exclusive announcement for E3 2021 reportedly leaked early. This is by Tyler Fisher on comicbook.com. Let me know if Facebook told you about this. A big borderline huge PS5 exclusive has reportedly leaked ahead of its E3 2021 announcement. E3 2021 is only a few weeks away, and while PlayStation won't be present with game announcement reveals, its partners will, including Square Enix, who is apparently making another exclusive Final Fantasy game for PS5 in addition to Final Fantasy 16. The report comes from the way of a prominent industry insider and leaker, Navtra, who has provided accurate information before it was revealed and announced in the past, including information pertaining to Square Enix and Final Fantasy. According to the leaker, the fans of the series can expect at least one more major Final Fantasy announcement in addition to updates on the currently announced stuff. Adding to this list, the leaker notes the game will be a PS5 exclusive. Unfortunately, this is all the leaker reveals. In other words, we don't know what type of Final Fantasy game it will be. We don't know what type of Final Fantasy it will be. What we do know is it will be consequential, which means it could be another remake or Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2. All right, so there's already been more news breaking from this. Yep. It's going to be a game linked to the original Final Fantasy game. I believe the title is something similar to Final Fantasy Origins, going to be called. And it is a Final Fantasy game in the veins of a Souls game. Like Dark Souls, Neo, what's the Last Jedi, Fallen Order?
Yep.
You know, those difficult, slow, kind of like parry and
hard
attack. Yes. Very difficult games.
Yep, you got to take your time, patience.
Does this excite you at all? You're the Final Fantasy guy, you and your brother.
It depends. If it's characters I recognize, then I might.
So it's supposed to be linked to the original Final Fantasy.
Does that mean Final Fantasy 1? Like,
from the NES, yes. And that isn't
that one got like remastered for the Game Boy SP?
Yeah.
If it's the one I'm thinking of, where you start, where you just have four guys and you pick the class.
Exactly. Yeah, it is. That is exactly.
I like that game.
Yep.
So I mean, I would be cool with that one.
Would you be down for a Dark Souls type Final Fantasy game?
I mean, I'll do what I gotta do.
Not play it for about 4 hours and then never play it again?
I'd never do that.
Kingdom Hearts 3?
I don't even have the game. I never even bought it.
Yeah, right.
Who told you I bought it?
The Snapchat you sent me of you buying it?
I don't remember buying it. Who would I have gone with? If it wasn't you, who would I have went with?
You probably bought it digitally.
I do not buy digital.
It's kind of weird that they're promoting so much Final Fantasy exclusive stuff for PlayStation so soon.
Trying to counteract
Bethesda?
Microsoft, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because think of it, right? So you already have the Final Fantasy integrated, right? Like the enhanced version of it for PS5.
Yeah.
They've already shown Final Fantasy 16 that they said is a console exclusive to PS5. And now this will be the third Final Fantasy exclusive on the PlayStation 5 this short. Granted, they're all three very different experiences, right? But still.
I think all Final Fantasy should be PS5 exclusives anyway.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Because it started on the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Technically, it started on the Nintendo, you piece of shit. You fake goddamn gaming fan.
Hey, wait. I don't mind if it's on Nintendo. I don't. I like when Final Fantasy IX was on Nintendo. That was cool. Nintendo's the only one we'll let it leak to.
Oh, okay.
I'll let PC slide too. So not Xbox.
We're an Xbox podcast, you said.
Shout out Microsoft.
No, I want it everywhere, dude. I just want it everywhere.
I mean, yeah, at this point, fuck it.
This is one of those games that you said, though, it's perfect for like the
exclusive
consoles. Yeah, where it's not those large online
games.
That's
how I feel in my heart. It should be only for Sony, but
yep.
As a Microsoft rep, I got to go. It should be everywhere.
I'll be honest with you. I care less about this one. Like, if this one was Sony exclusive, that's fine with me. The main line is where I'm like, damn it, that sucks. So it's like Final Fantasy 16. Put that everywhere.
Yeah, that sucks for you.
Not if I get a PS5.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you're going to have to get both.
Piece of shit.
Hey, I'll give you a little bit of Christmas money so you can get it this year.
You're the sweetest, you know that?
Hey, I'm just trying to do my part, man.
Next news story, Netflix is seemingly hiring to help it make more games. This is by Liam Wiseman on IGN.com. It's no secret that Netflix has been dominating the streaming market for a while now, even with strong competition from services like Disney+. But a new report suggests that it wants to get into the video game industry too. The information's report, citing people familiar with the situation, reveals that Netflix has been approaching key figures and industry veterans in the gaming industry in order to recruit an executive to oversee an expansion into video games. The suggested approach seems to be the Apple Arcade business model, which allows consumers to pay a fixed fee to access and stream a number of games via the service. Apparently, it hasn't yet been decided whether Netflix will look into develop games itself or with the external publishers. However, it has reportedly confirmed internally that these games will not include advertising. Netflix has been very public about wanting to bring more Netflix content into the video games market, even hosting a panel about it at E3 2019. The streaming giant has previously released games based on Stranger Things license, but is the first... In response to the report, a Netflix spokesman told The Information, "Our members value the variety and quality of our content. It's why we continually expand our offering from series to documentaries to films to local language originals and reality TV. Members also enjoy engaging more directly with stories they love through interactive shows like Bandersnatch and You vs. Wild, or games based on Stranger Things, La Casa del Papel, and To All the Boys. So we're excited to do more with interactive entertainment." In an earnings call from 2020, Netflix co-founder, chairman, and CEO Reed Hastings discussed his desire to jump into the video games industry. Reed stated that video games are a great and interesting area. It's got a number of aspects in terms of multiplayer that are changing, esports that are changing, PC-based gaming. Netflix has been aggressively pursuing video game licenses to make Netflix original content recently following the success of shows like The Witcher. Upcoming Netflix shows based off video games licenses include Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, Assassin's Creed, Sonic Prime, and Cyberpunk Edge Runners. We'd still like to use that apparently canceled Legend of Zelda Netflix show, thanks. And there are a number of other video game properties we'd love to see become Netflix shows while we're at it. So it sounds like the weirdest idea if you think about it. Netflix trying to make their own video games.
Yeah, that is pretty weird to me.
There's like a couple things I can see. Either they continue making content like Bandersnatch, where it's like that interactive choose-your-own-adventure.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Right. And I would consider that somewhat engaging in a game, right?
Yeah.
That, or there's now a controller that you buy, and from the Netflix menu, you use this controller and select the game right there and stream it right to your TV without, you know, a console and buying a game, and it's just part of your membership, adding value to your Netflix subscription.
Yeah, if they can crack down on people sharing passwords.
Well, the weird thing is, right? So if Netflix says, hey, we want to make video games based on our IP, they license IP more than they actually make IP. And some of them are already video games. Like, they can't be like, hey, we're going to make a Witcher game now. It's already owned by another company who makes the Witcher games.
Yeah.
They're not going to make an Assassin's Creed game. Pretty so, true. Like, if you think about what they own, right? What the hell are they going to make a video game on?
So does that mean they can only make a video game on like a Netflix original?
That's why I'm a little confused. by this approach. Like, I have seen the Stranger Things game they made. It's like a beat 'em up, you know, like one of those arcade beat 'em ups.
Yeah.
And it's like a way smaller title, you know. It's not like a, so like maybe they do make a full fledged Stranger Things game, but I don't know who wants that. It almost sounds like an Alan Wake game,
which was not a bad game.
Not a bad game, you're right. But it's like, what do? You remake the first season into a game, and you're like, well, I've already watched this, so why am I going to play it?
I feel like people would still play it. I don't know for how long, but...
Right, right. No, and you're right. People probably would still play it. It's also, I think, one of these things that you hear that they just kind of dip their toe into, and it never becomes anything.
Yeah, I don't really see how far this goes for that.
The only weird thing that I get is I do remember their E3 panel about video games specifically. So it's clear it's been on their mind for years now, and they're looking into it more and more.
I don't really see where it can go.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand. Are they going to make like a Netflix little box that you buy? Is it going to be that you can download these games onto? So it's not just specifically streaming. Is it streaming right from their Netflix app, and you buy a separate controller, almost like that Amazon
Luna controller? Like Stadia.
Exactly.
Which I don't think they want to be like, so.
But here's the thing. Like, imagine you already own a Netflix account and you have, you know, all your titles, and you're like, what the hell am I going to watch tonight? And now they have a roll of games. And you just click it from there.
Yeah, I mean, that would be dope. But I feel like certain games you wouldn't be like, then at that point, it would be like certain games you'd only be able to play with like a controller or whatever.
Well, they could sell a controller now too.
But then, or you gotta, maybe like, you. Then you got to like link it.
Oh, 100%. And so then, that's when it
they,
gets.
Then they sell like a little device that allows you to like link it.
Exactly. That's where I get confused. Like, where the hell do they go with this?
I'm sure they can find a way to make money off of it, but. There's just. I don't know what they're going to make.
And right, that's what I'm
saying. Everything's like, going to have to be like from scratch.
100%. Like, they technically have, right? They call it Netflix Originals of anime and all that stuff, but they're really not.
And they're
like,
not.
They don't. Yeah. They don't own them. They just license it for like the United States or The Witcher 3. They didn't create it. They just make the show for it, which I doubt means that they can make a video game based on the Witcher franchise.
I don't think they can do that.
Right. Because it's going to devalue the actual Witcher video game product.
It would be dope if they could.
I just don't.
If they could make that into something crazy.
You think so? I don't know. I don't have any trust in them.
I mean, I don't even have any interest in it.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. I think this is going to become something.
I don't think it's a good move, but.
I think they seriously just dipped a toe into it, and that's all we hear about it.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I think they should just stick to what they're doing. They're doing fine.
Yeah, it's. Actually, I don't think they are. I think this is one of the reasons why they're doing this.
Why they're doing it, yeah.
If you think about it, Disney Plus pretty soon is going to beat the shit out of them. When you have shows based on all the Marvel shows that are coming out now,
yeah,
you're going to have a ton of different Star Wars content.
Yeah, when all that shit drops, yeah, Netflix might get dumped.
Because if you think about it, what has been like the bangers from Netflix lately?
Honestly, I've been on HBO Max.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're sitting here saying this, but I couldn't tell you one Netflix show. I know that Jupiter's Legacy or whatever that superhero show is.
I heard it was mediocre.
It's like a boys wannabe, I've heard.
I heard it not. I heard it's not even like close to that, though. Like, it's not even as bad.
It's just such a... I think this is kind of like a, how do we stay relevant? How do we keep the value of our product up? How do we... Because you know Netflix isn't going to lower their price. They've just been getting pricier and pricier. But if you don't have the content to go against Disney Plus, what else can you do?
Yeah, I don't know how they're going to be able to compete with Disney Plus after all that shit that's going to drop.
So I think this is it.
Just when The Mandalorian comes out, I'm already like done with Netflix.
See? And that's one
that's
Star
just
Wars
one show,
show,
yeah. Like, I'm done with Netflix when that episode comes out.
But even like WandaVision was incredible.
It was.
The Falcon and the Winter Soldier was really good. I enjoyed The Mandalorian season 2.
Mandalorian season 2 was insane.
Mm-hmm, that's what I'm saying. Like, I haven't checked out The Bad Batch yet, but I've heard decent things about it.
Other than that stuff, though, Disney Plus doesn't really get it going for me.
Really? Well, I guess you they kind of like rested on their laurels, right? Like they had their old stuff.
Which is fine. I'm just trying to watch new stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of where it becomes with Netflix too, right?
Like that's why I like HBO Max right now. Amazon Prime usually has got good stuff.
It's just
Hulu like, even has good stuff.
I love Hulu right now too.
And I got the no ads, so.
Oh, you got money, dude.
Nah, it's not my account.
All right, dude. That does it for this week's episode. Where can people find you?
Oh, PC, Papa Dill 22.
PC Gamer, Papa Dill 22. That's 2021's Columbus Cup Street Fighter V champion. Yes, sir. And you can find me on Twitter at @AHN_gags.
The GOAT.
Do you want to say anything about your victory before we get off?
I just want to say, if Dev ever listens to this episode, I just want him to know that it was great kicking his ass and sending him to the Shadow Realm.
If anyone who listens challenged you to a fight, could you beat them?
Fist fight or Street Fighter fight?
Street Fighter fight.
Depends. I don't know. I'm just a B-League champ. I'm not the A-League champ.
Wait. This is new information. So there's a league better than you that you weren't in?